Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Joanna Fortune joins us once again for our parenting slot. Good afternoon,
Good
Joanna.
Afternoon.
First question is about a four-year-old. Please ask Joanna this. It's been really bothering me for a few days and I've been feeling sick about it. My son is four and had his friend on a play date and he wanted him to go to his bedroom. When I checked on them after a few minutes, my son was completely naked and his friend had his trousers off. I was so horrified because I knew it had been my son's idea. I want to ask, is this normal or a sign of something deviant?
I mean, it is actually normal and it is very, very common. However, just because it's common, it does tend to lead to panic in parents. But I just want to reassure that in under 7-year-olds, this is very normal behaviour because it's about body curiosity.
Yeah.
Does everyone look the same as me? Who has the same? Who has what's different? All of this. So, I mean, I would just say if the kids, as I assume they are in this situation, both children are under 7, close in age, and they know each other, that fits the criteria of this being innocent exploration. If they were both in agreement to take their clothes off, in other words, that one did not coerce or force the other one to do it, it's completely innocent. If it was done in a play context, you know, doctors or being injured or whatever kind of playfulness was going on, it's innocent. And the fact that they went to a room and closed the door is also very innocent, because it might sound like it was covert, but actually secrecy tends to be a part of this type of explorative play, because at some levels, children sense that their parents don't approve.
Yes.
So they close the door so you don't see and they don't get into trouble. I would say, you know, calmly introduce a new activity. If you walk in on this again, so this has already happened, but if it happens again and you walk in on it, just very calmly introduce a new activity by saying, you know, let's go outside. I'll help you put your clothes on. Okay, you get the clothes on, you get them outside, you redirect them into something new. And then later, calmly talk to your child stating, you know, I'm not cross about this. It's really normal to be curious about bodies. But just to remind you that private parts stay private, and we don't, and reaffirm the boundaries, because at four, this is a good age to start having that conversation if you haven't already. The only other thing I would put into your head is be aware, could he have walked in on something, adult activity in the middle of the night or anything like that, or showering, because that can happen around this age where under four, you really get away with them being in the shower with you and they don't really pay any attention. But all of a sudden they're going, oh, bodies look different. I wonder, does everyone's look different? So it might just be a conversation for everyone in the house to be aware of body awareness and privacy if you've a curious, as you clearly do, a curious little four-year-old. But there's nothing wrong with curiosity.
Yeah, but as you say, the fact that they went into the bedroom, shut the door,
oh, then
they're he's already aware about what privacy is, but, you know,
he's aware of not
genuine.
Getting caught.
You got one, what does it look like?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, so I certainly would move away from a word like deviant. That there's nothing in this that would infer that to me. And I would say it's innocent and normal, but a good opportunity to reaffirm a boundary conversation.
My 3.5-year-old has an issue with throwing things. Generally, I say, we don't throw things. Then I ignore it, but get him to pick up whatever he's thrown before we move on to the next thing. Problem is, he has recently started in preschool and now he's throwing stones in there. We are currently moving house, but this predates that. However, it has peaked. What can I do?
Okay, there's been quite a bit of change for this child. You know, he started preschool. There has been a move. So there has been a couple of transitions in his life. And at this age, they're still very limited in terms of how to express their feelings. So if they can't say, gosh, this was a lot for me to take in and process, any behaviour you see, such as the throwing, can exacerbate. It can get more pronounced and more obvious at times like this. So that might explain it. It doesn't necessarily excuse it, because obviously you're going to get called up to the preschool. You know, he's throwing stones. So I think I would do some kind of positive throwing play. And what I mean by that is I would use games like cotton ball snowball fight, where he can pelt, you can pelt each other with cotton balls and he gets that throwing impulse out, but with something like cotton balls that can't hurt. I might do a newspaper basketball, which is simply that you get sheets of newspaper, roll them into a ball, you make a basket with your hands joined and have him throw the balls into the basket. So he's throwing, but it's in a very positively redirected way, because one of the things you're doing is you're saying, which is appropriate, we don't throw things, and then you're ignoring it, but you're not leaving him with an alternative. What can he do instead?
Yeah.
And children that age really do need that redirection. I mean, it's developmentally one of the most challenging behaviours we tend to see from toddlers is throwing, closely followed by hitting. They tend to be the two that toddlers at this age do default to, because they're limited in how to express themselves, and it's a way of showing frustration, dissatisfaction. I don't know how else to express myself, so there you go. Now you see it. It tends to be a good way of getting people's focus and attention, particularly in a crowd at preschool. All eyes are on me when I'm doing something like this. It gets my name called. There are secondary gains like that. So he may actually enjoy the throwing. He may enjoy doing this.
Because it's fun. Yeah.
And also he may feel a sense of control when things are out of his control, generally when you're that age, but also with a house move and a starting preschool. So he may feel a sense of control while doing it. So I think you're on the right track here in saying we don't do this, but I would want you to take the approach we've mentioned before, ACT, acknowledge his feeling. That's the A. I know you're feeling frustrated, or you really wish we could stay outside longer, or whatever it is. And then communicate your limit. We don't throw things. We don't throw stones, perhaps, because sometimes, you know, you do throw things like a ball or something like that.
Yeah.
So we don't throw stones, and then target an alternative. If you want to throw something, why don't we play one of our throwing games?
Yeah.
And redirect them to a positive alternative.
Yeah.
And I think that if you repeat that in a very calm, consistent way over and over, I think you should see a positive shift there.
Yeah, though you can see where there's a worry if he's throwing stones
absolutely.
If he hits somebody. Oh,
hit somebody or a window or a door. No, I absolutely see that. No, stones are a big no-no.
Yeah, going back to the two little fellas who went to have a look at each other. Our kids are curious. He wanted to know what was going on. Sure, as adults, we're still curious. It never leaves us, says one texter. Okay, I think if you found two adults in that situation, there would be more questions to ask. Adele says, my daughter did this. Yes, it's a shock, but she only ever did it the once and her curiosity was satisfied. We didn't need to really give out to her over it or anything. We told her not to do it with anyone outside the family and ask us questions if she needed to know anything. She seemed happy with that. Well, indeed.
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to normalise it and avoid any shaming. That's key.
My six-year-old is driving me demented. She just won't listen to what me or her dad asks her to do, and it takes for us to say it a fourth, fifth, sixth time, and sometimes just plain anger for her to listen to us. I don't mean to shout, but after five times repeating the same request, it turns into a bit of a roar, and I always feel bad when she gets upset. I have sat her down to talk to her about her behaviour, and she's really a good girl. I just don't understand why she decides not to listen to her parents. I have asked her minder about it, and she says she always does what she's told on the first go.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, I always like to rule out the physical stuff with anything before we jump to psychopathologize anything. But a six-year-old who's not listening, I would be certainly bringing her to have her ears checked and just make sure everything is okay with her hearing. There's no buildup of wax. There's nothing so simple that actually it could be the answer. So I like to rule out the physical. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. But I'm also going to ask you to have a little think about what is she doing when you're demanding her attention.
Yeah.
Because children, particularly around this age, they can be very consumed and absorbed into the task at hand. So if she's involved in a little play piece that she's building something or working something out, she's so immersed in her imaginative, creative world that your voice isn't penetrating. It's not getting through. So I wouldn't look at this as she's deciding not to listen to you, but perhaps you need to make sure that you're securing eye contact and in a gentle yet firm voice saying, this is what I need you to do. I can see you're very busy, so I'm going to ask you one more time and remind you to do it. And keep it simple like that. I wouldn't assume she's not hearing. I would tend to assume that actually she's absorbed at the task at hand. So I'm also struck by, you know, she's with her minder. If she's away from you all day, she may be hyper aroused when she's reunited with you. And in that kind of state of excited arousal, it's actually very difficult for children to take in cognitive information like voices, requests, demands, tasks like that. So it may be necessary that you actually, in a doing rather than saying way, reconnect with her. And what I mean by that is play with her. Mm. When you come back together, spend 15 minutes uninterrupted sitting and playing with her so that she's co-regulating with you. You've got that connection in a doing rather than saying way. And now when you want her to do something or to hear you, she's in a much better place to do it. We can tend to expect our children just to be on our schedules. We're in now, come on, now we have to do this, now we have to do... Children don't work like that. Mm. And they want that time of reconnection with us. So if you can afford 15 minutes, it could be 15 minutes of this so that you've an easier evening all round rather than driving each other to this point that you're shouting and she's crying. That's not pleasant for anybody. So I think that could really, really help with this.
Yeah, because maybe I'm reading too much, but it does sound like the parents are a bit stressed. They need to do something quickly.
Absolutely. That's how I read it as well. And I understand that because, you know, we're all a bit time poor. And when you're coming home from a busy day and you've got to get children from minders, get them in, get them fed, get everyone bathed, get everyone into bed by a certain time, it does feel like you're go, 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 go. Mm. But that kind of time scale doesn't actually work well for children who need longer. So you may have what I'd call a slower paced child. That's not a criticism, that's simply a description, that she may need to move a little slower through those tasks.
Yeah.
And I would say you need to change the way you're doing it to meet how she needs it to be done.
Could it be just that the thing she's being asked to do, she just doesn't want to do
it? Yeah, simple as that. Entirely be that.
Because like a child can be deaf if you say come for your dinner, but they're not so deaf if you say would you like a chocolate biscuit?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it could absolutely be that. But again, it may be that she's not ready to come for dinner because she wants to play or hang out with mum or dad or spend some time together. I would see if there are ways you could slow down the evening and reconnect before you move into the do-do-do piece.
Right, we're going to take a break after that. An 11-year-old having interesting dreams.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cents. Joanna Fortune is still with us. Next question is this. Our 11-year-old son came into our room a couple of weeks ago in floods of tears and apologies and said that he'd weed in the bed. It turns out that it wasn't urine. He'd had a wet dream. I told him it was a normal part of growing up and his dad had a little refresher about the birds and the bees in the light of day. It happened again the next night and again the night after, etc., etc. He tells us about it every time and seems to think it's the same as wetting the bed. Does your parenting expert know if this is something that might just go away on its own? His dad doesn't seem to remember something similar happening to him.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's normal to have wet dreams or nocturnal emissions, as they're more formally called, but it's equally normal not to have them. So the fact that his dad doesn't remember having them wouldn't make the fact that the child is having them anyway strange. The body begins to mature for young boys around 10, 11 years old. So, you know, he's at the age where this... So basically, this all to me sounds very, very normal. You can't really stop them in terms of that part of the question because they actually are happening while he's asleep. So he's not consciously aware of it. Mm. So you can't stop it happening. They tend to decrease and stop over time. And really what it would be is just allow it to happen, but empower him to better understand what's happening and to take control of the situation. And what I mean by that is certainly great that dad had the refresher about birds and bees, but talk to him again about it so that he understands he's not wetting the bed and exactly what this is and what's happening. And then I would tend to let him sleep with a towel nearby, a fresh change of pajamas. Mm. And I would use this as an opportunity to teach him about managing his laundry. You know, that if it happens, he just gets himself up, changes, puts a towel down and the sheets can be taken off the next morning and he puts everything in the wash basket and everybody gets on with their day and he doesn't have to come in and tell you every time. So you're really empowering
him.
But
he's still 11 though.
He's 11, but he could handle it at 11. I think if you explain it to him and show him this is what you're going to do, it's so normal, this is all you have to do when it happens. Mm. And then I think it will go away on its own. It'll run its own sort of natural developmental course and it will... it'll stop then. So, but I just think you've got to normalise it. I would want him to really understand he's not wetting the bed.
Yeah. Our 7.5-year-old daughter is coming home from school every day in a foul temper because she says she hates her teacher. She's in second class and never had this issue before. She says the teacher always picks her out for questions and gives out to her whenever she gets one wrong, and that he doesn't do it to anyone else. Last night, and this is why I'm writing in desperation, she cried herself to sleep after she told me she wants to move schools. I don't want to do that, obviously. I have been up to the school and have asked the teacher if there's anything wrong in the most general way that I could, but he said it was all fine. I don't know what to do next.
Yeah, I suppose this is a really tricky one for any parent, because if the child is this distressed but the teacher's like, no, there's nothing wrong, it's very difficult to know what to do. So I would kind of pick this one apart and picked up that it's a male teacher, and that brought up a question for me that if, and it's entirely plausible that in second class, is this her first time with a male teacher? And in which case, perhaps his tone of voice is experienced by her as sterner, just in terms of it's not a female sounding voice.
Maybe, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just putting that out there as a maybe. It might be nothing to do with it. But I wonder, is that unsettling her? I mean, but the fact that she's crying herself to sleep would say she's in quite a high level of distress. So I would want to sit down with her and, instead of her saying, I hate my teacher, say, well, what is it that you hate about school this year, because you were so happy last year, and try and break it down and see, is it something specific? Is it he shouts at us? Is it there's too much work? Is it I don't like who I'm sitting with? What exactly is the trigger here? But I would certainly be going back to talk to the teacher and let him know that your daughter is struggling. Instead of saying, you know, something in a general way to the teacher, I'd say, actually, she's saying there is something wrong and she's crying at night and she's talking about wanting to change school. Mm. So I need your help to better understand what's happening, because this teacher may be completely oblivious to anything like that. But if you talk to him about it, he can observe it for a few days in the class and perhaps shed some light on, do you know, there is key parts of the day, or there is this coming, that he can help you better understand it. In terms then at home with your daughter, I would want you to consider doing a few little story stemming role play situations, so that you take out little toy figurines, you know, little, it could be Sylvanian family, little animal families, or it could be Doll's House little characters, and role play out various situations about school. And you can start the stories. Okay, you go into school, you sit down and you play out the beginning of the story, and then you say, now you tell me how it ends.
Yeah.
And your daughter picks up the little characters and she plays out the end of the story, which can often be a way of gaining insight into what's happening from her perspective in a way that's very hard for her to articulate to you any other way. So I think you could do that, and then you could use the same kind of little characters to role play out how you would like things to do, positive little outcomes and situations, and play those stories over and over with her so that she can internalize those as a new default. So when she gets stressed in school, she thinks about the story you've been playing out and how things will go, and she follows that trajectory instead.
Mm.
Something like that can be like a small change that could make a big difference. That can actually really help. But I definitely think you've got to go back and speak to the teacher in a more direct way than a general way.
Yeah, because what month is it now? Yeah, she hasn't been that long in second class. I wonder if it's just like the workload is that
and
little
it does,
bit heavier.
You see, it does. You're absolutely right. Like, we do tend to expect a lot more of children at this stage of school.
Mm.
Like, school has been quite playful and very manageable, and now there's proper curriculum to be followed, and homework has probably upped, you know, as well, things like that. So I think there's probably a couple of things contributing to it, but I would try and steer her away from I hate my teacher to what is it you hate about school, because I think it's very likely it's not the teacher, but it's something about how he's teaching or how the class is being structured.
Yeah. My son turned 3 a couple of months ago, and since then he has been so difficult to deal with. He constantly cries and screams and is angry. If he wants something or isn't happy about something, he cries or screams. He has a lot of meltdowns in a day. Even Crash have mentioned that he's very emotional, more so than other kids in the class, and will cry for no reason. Around his 3rd birthday, we potty trained him and he took to it very quickly, but I wonder, has that caused some sort of emotional breakdown? I'm at my wit's end dealing with him, and he is making home life extremely difficult and unpleasant. We have a 5-year-old who next acted like this, who never acted like this at all, says this texter.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say if you potty trained him very recently around his third birthday, he took to it quickly. I would say that's not connected, because if he took to it quickly, he was ready for it. Three is, you know, a very reasonable age to potty train a child. It's neither too young nor exceptionally old. It's around the average age. So I don't think I would be including that there. There's no indication. At 3 years old, though, children are still struggling to emotionally articulate what's going on and use words. They're still developing language, and it's certainly an emotional language they haven't yet developed. So behaviour tends to be their way of expressing what's going on.
Yeah.
So you may have an emotionally sensitive child, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's something that has to be parented quite differently. So the fact that your five-year-old wasn't like this, again, is no indication that there's something wrong with the three-year-old. They're just different children.
Yeah.
It
seems to be like this happened, that he was grand until relatively recently, and then suddenly he became very, very emotional.
But, he's in that stage now where he's probably, I'm guessing he's probably gone into the more ecky year of creche, because he's three.
Okay. Yeah.
And if not, I'm just surmising age-wise, he could be in that preschool year now where it is more structured and there is more expected of him. So that may have been a transition for him.
Yeah.
So it would be worth talking to the creche about when they say he's very emotional and cries for no reason. Generally, children do not cry for no reason. It may be no reason that we can see, but there is a reason. And it's really about trying to understand what is the reason from your three-year-old's point of view. And is there a pattern? Is it transitioning in and out of activities? Is it at key times of the day? Is it when he's hungry, thirsty, tired? Like, is there a pattern to when he's having these episodes of crying? I think there's more to be understood about this one, but I also think that this child may be more sensitive emotionally, so may be experiencing the demands that are being placed on him. If he has gone into the ECHI system, there's probably kids who are coming in and out of the creche facility just for those hours and then leaving again. So he has to deal with, new people coming in and going out.
Yeah.
And there's a huge, we often underestimate what this is like for little children. So I would go to creche, sit down with them, establish a pattern, and actually sit with your three-year-old as well, and using play, always using play, and particularly for stuff like this, I want to see you increase sensory play. Get him back to basics of messy, tactile, touch-based play and interaction, and see, can that help him calm down by connecting with you in a touch-based way. And that could be hand-clapping games, row, row, row your boat, things that involve rhythm, synchrony and skin-to-skin touch.
Mm. Going back to that little fella who was doing a lot of throwing, somebody's texted in to say, particularly throwing stones, a quick smack on the hand will sort out that kid who throws stones. You need to be their parent, not their friend.
Oh, I would totally disagree with that, because I wouldn't advocate slapping. But in particular, if you're trying to teach a child not to throw so they don't hurt anyone, and the way you do that is by hurting them, I think you're just going to confuse them with a mixed message. And there would be absolutely zero evidence to back up that as an effective thing to do. On the contrary, there's a ton of evidence to back up it would be the wrong thing to do.
Joanna, thanks a million for coming into us today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.